abandoned. This week I ran into some alumni from NAU and the Newman Center who were married a few years ago. And their journey has included blessings and great difficulties. The greatest difficulty that they say that they've gone through was having a miscarriage. And they said to me, they said, "Father Matt, we want to follow up with you because you recommended this ministry called Redbird." Redbird is a new ministry to the diocese where couples or persons who've had miscarriages can go on a retreat, a healing retreat where they hear other people who've experienced that and kind of unlock the path of healing for them. And so, Father Matt, you suggested that we go on this Redbird retreat, and it was really helpful. They said, you know, we had been processing it together and praying about it. They said, but it was so healing to be with others who've gone through this, to know that we were not alone. Today we hear Jesus walking through his passion. And we are invited to walk with him. But it's Jesus who walks that path of suffering because that's where we are. Suffering is not pleasant. It's something we would avoid. We want to avoid, however we can. But the worst part of suffering is feeling like we're there all alone. That nobody knows what we're going through. That I would say, for me, that's like the definition of hell. It's like, I'm suffering and I'm all alone. In Mark's gospel today, Jesus says one thing on the cross. He says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Forsaken is not like, oh, you got busy and forgot to pick me up after school. Forsaken is like, you decided you don't want me anymore and you left me there. I think if we're honest that there's times in our lives where we feel that way. It just feels that way. Like I feel like I'm in this place, and why would God want to leave me here? And so it feels like God doesn't care anymore. It feels like he's abandoned me. He's forsaken me. But it's interesting, Jesus himself feels this abandonment. And what does he do with it? But he cries out to the Father. my God, why have you forsaken me? Or in the words of our psalm, my God, why have you abandoned me? And it can seem like, well, I can't talk to God like that. I mean, yeah, because it would seem like I'm not trusting him. Like I'm despairing, or you know, God has a plan, and so I can't talk to God like that. And so it feels like if we were to talk to God like that we're not trusting him. But it's actually the opposite. That here's Jesus, who never sinned, expressing this despair, expressing this abandonment to his Father, because he knows that his Father is there, that his Father is listening, that it doesn't speak of a lack of relationship, but it actually speaks of a strength of relationship. That's exactly what we do. And if you follow Psalm 22, maybe you caught it today in the fourth stanza, but if you read all of Psalm 22, it begins with this prayer of abandonment. But by the time you get to the end of it, it turns into a prayer of praise, a prayer of confidence, a recognition that God has heard and answered the person's prayer. In Jewish culture, the rabbi would say the first line of the psalm. It's kind of like 84 years ago. You know, and you go on from there. Or 'twas the night before Christmas. Like, you say the first line and people go, right? So in a similar way, in Jewish culture, you say the first line of the psalm, and everybody listening continues the psalm, and they didn't have books, they had to memorize these things. And so everyone listening to Jesus on the cross, my God, why have you abandoned me? That they would have actually continued that in their head and moved from a place of despair and abandonment to a place of praise and recognition that God was with them. This past week, I met with a woman, and she was sharing with me that she says, "Father Matt, I've been in desolation for years." And you could just hear, she's just like tired of it. Like, I feel disconnected from God, and I'm at my wit's end. And so she was, so I'm asking my padre questions like, well, what's that like for you? You know, tell me about that. And she kept saying things like, gosh, it's really hard. But, you know, I know he's got a plan. You know, it really stinks. But I know he loves me. And finally, I just interrupted her. And I said, I want you to stop. I want you to finish your sentence with a period, not a but. She's like, what? And so I was like, I want you to say, it's okay to say I don't like this, and I want you just to put a period there and be quiet. She's like, okay, yeah, I hate this. And then she was calm. She just sat there. Then I noticed her tearing up. So I kind of waited. And I just asked, I said, what are you experiencing right now? And this woman, who's been experiencing desolation and abandonment from God for years, said, peace. That you and I were so intent on trying to get to where we think we should be. We're so focused on running away from the mess in which we find ourselves. That we can lose the fact that Jesus has chooses to be right there where I am, even though I don't want to be there. And if I can take a breath and give myself permission to be where I am, that to be in a world that's not as I would have it, to be in a family that's not the ideal that I would have liked, that to be dealing with health issues that I'd rather not have, to have my friend's situation be with the betrayal that it's been, that if I can just pause there and like Jesus, tell God all about what I'm experiencing. Like, I hate this. I feel abandoned by you and everyone. That precisely there, the Lord wishes to meet us. That if I can abandon where I wish I was and choose to abandon myself into his hands and his will of where he has me, that I can encounter the God of peace and love, choosing to be with me right here.